From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, May the 19th, 2009. Each week, Directions brings you the very latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief, this week in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Last week, Digital Globe, the commercial satellite imagery company, conducted an initial public offering, raising about $239 million. Meanwhile, its competitor, GeoEye, reported a large increase in first quarter profits. These companies represent just a handful of public geospatial companies. We'll look at the importance of that topic, but first a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Quickly get your imagery to the people who need it with ArcGIS Server Image Extension. For more information, visit www.esri.com/image.
Adina, last week, Digital Globe, the commercial satellite imagery company, went public and was offered just above its range of anticipated IPO, about $19 a share, and settled at the end of the week just up 5%. Meanwhile, we heard from GeoEye. It said that it increased its first quarter profits by 26%. These two companies represent really just a few public geospatial companies, and in fact, you know, what we've seen is just the opposite. Many companies like MapInfo and Intergraph were being taken private, and I think it's kind of important to have companies in our sector traded. And just in terms of full disclosure, I've taken positions in some of these companies in terms of stock. I also thought it was interesting that Matt O'Connell, the CEO of GeoEye, said of the Digital Globe IPO, and I quote, "We're pleased that our competitor Digital Globe is doing their initial public offering. Their IPO will increase the attention the investing community pays to the entire geospatial industry. We need our industry to have more investor attention, more financial analyst attention, and more media attention. And we know that customers like the increased transparency that comes with public companies." You know, what I'd like to focus on in our discussion is whether this IPO will have an impact on the broader information technology industry and how it views geospatial technology as a whole and being part of that major IT thrust or the major contribution to the financial sector. I also want to bring up one other piece of information that I think relates to this. And I had a conversation last week with David Sonnen, who's an industry analyst for IDC, the market research company. He says that now IDC is tracking approximately 700 companies that are involved in geospatial technology. I thought that was a phenomenal number. So there is now this increased awareness with a new company going public, and what does that say about our industry? Is it part of the main IT fabric? What's your take?
I think it really doesn't yet have that same allure of the main IT fabric, and I think the Digital Globe IPO is a perfect example of that. Because the way that the Digital Globe IPO is described, Digital Globe itself is either described as a company that serves the military, or it's described as a company that provides images to Google, which makes it sound far less like an IT kind of company than like a information provider, publisher kind of company. And even though people are familiar with the name Digital Globe and GeoEye, for that matter, because of their pushes into the commercial consumer sectors through these mapping portals and maybe through some other things like games and phone-based applications, I don't think they're really seen as part of the IT infrastructure.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. But these two companies have really sort of a raised awareness in the broader public. When you go to a Google search, you see Digital Globe or a GeoEye mentioned down there in the little right-hand corner. And so there's an awareness that these companies are now a part of kind of more mainstream. And I think that it helps to have this kind of awareness out there. I do wish, and I share your concern about why we're not being more accepted into the mainstream IT, and that we seem to be pigeonholed into providing, these companies are just doing military work, or they're kind of the other end of the spectrum, which is the consumer end. So we, There's not that much attention to what our main thrust is in our industry, which is really solid work for government and commercial businesses. So I really share your concern, and I would hope that this kind of starts with both Digital Globe and GOI being public, that we kind of bring our area of the world into the conversation of mainstream IT.
This could be a starting point for that, because right now, and this is—I just noticed this in my work looking for news to cover for our various sites. Pretty much, whenever you find an article that talks about either GOI or Digital Globe, the other one is mentioned. But no other geospatial companies are mentioned, except maybe Google or Microsoft, which, you know, you can argue those aren't really geospatial companies. So the little club that these two companies are currently in is very, very small. And maybe by getting both of their stock ticker symbols out into, for example, like you said, IDC's coverage or our own coverage just of the stock space, that'll be a jumping off point for putting it into a broader context.
The other thing that Dave Sonnen mentioned was that there are about 5 or 6 IDC analysts that to some degree or another watch our space. They may not be totally focused as he is in this space, but there are others who are kind of poking at the periphery of our technology. And you can see that as like a business intelligence company sort of integrates geospatial technology into their solution, or a large defense contractor has a major win with that has a large geospatial component. So you begin to hope, at least, and maybe we're just at the beginning stages of having geospatial technology more thrust into the limelight.
Well, I think it's valuable to take a look at which geospatial companies that are public are sort of in the limelight, and how and if they're helping, you know, raise all boats and raise awareness. We talked about GOI and Digital Globe, but as you point out, the other companies that used to sort of blaze the trail in that space, MapInfo for one and Intergraph for two, are now both sort of hidden in other places, Intergraph being private and MapInfo now being part of a much larger organization.
And I think we're going to continue to run up against the problem here of getting more exposure. This is kind of a jaded look at the whole situation, you know. I mean, if you're only, it's only these two, and they only shine a spotlight on one aspect of our business, which is satellite imagery, you kind of miss the thrust of all the analytical work and all of the good solutions that are out there from companies that are small, and you're not quite at that stage of IPOing. I should also bring up, you know, that there are companies that have resisted going IPO, Bentley Systems being one. They had considered this a while ago, have yet to have an IPO. So there may be some reticence on some of these companies to go public, especially in this type of economic climate.
Right, and I think it's worth talking a little bit about Digital Globe's IPO experience. And I didn't realize this until I took a little deeper look into what happened last week. The company actually sold 14.7 million shares. That's about 33% of the company. And that's all well and good, but of those 14.7 million shares, Digital Globe itself offered only 1.3 million, which accounts for about $25 million in profits to the company. The rest of the shares that were sold were already held by people who had invested in Digital Globe. So that money, in a sense, went back to the original investors, didn't go into the company. I guess the point I'm making is, while this looks like the company made a big pile of money, in point of fact, the company itself made a pretty small amount of money. So the reason for going public here, I mean, if this was the way it was supposed to have played out, was really to pay back the investors, not, in fact, to fund the company for the next couple of years.
Right. And as we know, there's an awful large investment that you have to make in the satellite and in the technology to capture satellite imagery. And this kind of brings us to the topic I want to raise here, is that we also heard last week that there might have been a problem with one of the profiles of GOI. And I want to quote from the conference call that the company had with investors and analysts. Last week, we discovered a potential issue with some of GOI's imagery collections. The satellite has different collection profiles. Our investigation team, including our camera provider, ITT, has determined that the issue is only present in one profile but not in the others. In a collection that is affected by the issue, a small part of the image lacks color, but the black and white is unaffected. The issue doesn't affect resolution or accuracy, and it's too early in a review to determine what the cause is for this issue on the specific remedies which might apply. There's little or no impact to the collections for our service level agreement with NGA, and they're analyzing the problem. Now, let me explain that a profile is an operating mode. You would consider that using the satellite to collect black and white imagery is one operating mode, or to selectively collect a certain resolution is another mode or profile, and the GOI is trying to figure out the problem. Many investors saw this problem, and the stock dropped about 18% on the announcement. We sometimes take these risks of space for granted, and this is one situation where there might be some difficulty in fixing it, but I think it goes right to the issue that we were talking about, which was there's a lot of investment here, and some of those initial investors are taking a fairly large risk.
There were a number of articles before the IPO basically highlighting the risk of putting satellites into orbit and then making sure that the sensors actually operate correctly. But that certainly didn't seem to slow down any of the purchasing. All of the shares that were put out there to be sold apparently were. And people clearly see this, both of these companies, as decent long-term investments, despite those kinds of challenges.
Well, and I think that they see the potential. I think the big deal a couple years ago when we launched, or when Google launched Google Maps and Google Earth, was everybody was awed by the imagery that they saw. It wasn't about the maps so much. I mean, MapQuest had existed before that. It was the imagery. And so we're somewhat enamored by looking at satellite technology and being able to roam the globe from your computer. And so there's some popular attraction to satellite imagery.
I think that's true, and I think it also reinforces the value that same kind of imagery might have for the government, who is, you know, the biggest purchaser of imagery from both of those companies. So all of a sudden, we sort of understand it in a new way, and I think the other thing that people, consumers in particular, are now comfortable with is this imagery is not going away. We always need to have it, and we need to have it better, faster, higher resolution, and so forth. So the only place to go is up. You know, even if a satellite does have a failure that maybe gets fixed, or if something winks out, we'll have to launch another one. And more than likely, it'll be an existing company versus a new player just because of the required investment and staffing. I mean, it's a very specialized kind of field.
Right, and there are already plans for GOI-2, which it was hoping to get started in 2009 with a possible launch in 2012. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like to remind you that the 2009 ESRI Business GIS Summit will coincide with the ESRI International Users Conference in San Diego, California, July 12th through the 15th. In addition to the Business GIS Summit plenary and the Expo Social, participants will also be able to take part in the user conference plenary and sessions, allowing them the opportunity to meet leaders from other industries. Don't miss the May 22nd registration deadline. Visit us at www.esri.com/bizsummit. That's BIZSUMMIT. And I'd also like to mention that I'll be speaking at that event, which I'm glad to do this year. If you'd like to contact us, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or place a comment in our section in which we host our podcast on All Points Blog or Directions Magazine. We appreciate any feedback you have, and we hope you'll join us next week, and be sure to tell a friend.